Today is Thursday, June 6th. New info about migrants arrested at the border and what Congress plans to do about it now. And big changes to how veterans can get health care. Plus, the changes coming to college basketball, Amazon's newest delivery drone, and Rihanna's milestone. Then hang out after the news for Thing to Know Thursday's bonus interview, all about child internet celebrities. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. We are in a full-blown emergency. That's a direct quote from a top border official after the number of migrants arrested crossing the southern border hit a 13-year high. The Washington Post reports more than 144,000 migrants were arrested just in May. That's the highest monthly total since 2006. The New York Times says the U.S. likely released the arrest numbers to put pressure on the Mexican government. Remember, President Trump wants Mexico to help stop illegal immigration. He already threatened the country with 5% tariffs on all goods coming into the U.S. from Mexico. CNBC reports U.S. and Mexico officials will meet again today to talk about a possible solution. They already met yesterday, but no deal yet. Trump says progress was made, just not enough. And if a deal isn't reached this week, President Trump says those tariffs will start on Monday. But keep in mind, lawmakers have said they may work to block those tariffs if it comes to that. Also of note, the Trump administration says it's canceling English classes and sports programs for migrant kids who cross the border and are now in shelters in the U.S. ABC News reports programs that are not considered necessary for protection will be cut or scaled back. And the reason is money. The president has asked Congress for more money to care for migrant kids, but Democrats disagree if it's a good idea. Some are worried about giving Trump extra dollars for the border without strict conditions about how it can be used. So, to be continued. New restrictions from the Trump administration means government scientists can no longer use fetal tissue in their research. NBC News says scientists have been using this tissue from aborted fetuses for research for decades. And it's led to life-saving advances like vaccines for polio and rabies and drugs for the HIV virus. But critics of that research are calling the new rules a pro-life victory. The Washington Post says the president wanted to, quote, protect the dignity of human life. Others don't agree, though, including the American Medical Association. They say this will slow scientists down as they try to find treatments and cures for life-threatening diseases affecting millions of people. This mostly affects work done at the National Institutes of Health, which is a government agency that does public health research, and it might affect some university grants in the future, but not all. Keep in mind, this doesn't affect privately funded research, just some studies funded by the federal government. A big change for veterans and their health care. Starting today, veterans have expanded access to see private doctors. It means that if the wait times are too long at Veterans Affairs facilities, or if it's too far away to go to those, veterans can get treatment somewhere else and the VA will still pay for it. This is a pretty big deal. The New York Times says it's the biggest shift in the American healthcare system since the Affordable Care Act, aka Obamacare. President Trump signed the law called the VA Missions Act last year, but today it actually takes effect. Before this, USA Today says veterans who had to wait 30 days or drive more than 40 miles to see a VA doctor could then get private care. But under the new law, the wait time is cut to 20 days and the drive time is down to 30 minutes. Some veterans groups and lawmakers worry there won't be enough private doctors to take the large number of new patients. They also wonder if the VA will be ready to handle the logistics of this change, since it has had problems with computer systems in the past. But the VA says it does not expect a lot of veterans to go to private doctors right away, and it anticipates a good rollout. Today marks 75 years since D-Day, the largest seaborne invasion in history. During World War II, thousands of Allied troops invaded Normandy, France, to free Europe of Nazi control. The attack is known as D-Day. CBS News reports some historians consider it the single most important day in the 20th century and a huge turning point in the war. President Trump is in Europe this week to pay tribute to D-Day veterans. Today, he's in Normandy for a commemoration ceremony. The AP reports yesterday, Trump joined Queen Elizabeth II and more than 300 veterans for a national ceremony. ABC News reports these events are expected to be one of the last that many surviving World War II veterans go to, since many of them are now in their 90s. More news ahead, but first, a quick break for today's sponsor, Ancestry. If you've ever wanted to connect more with your past or maybe confirm those stories you've heard about your grandparents, then definitely check out Ancestry. First, Ancestry DNA connects you to the places in the world where your story started with geographic information and historical insights. But what's so unique about Ancestry is that you can enhance your results with a free trial to build a family tree. And this is really where you learn about the people in your family. It was really eye-opening for me. I knew some about how my grandparents survived the Holocaust, but they never really liked to talk about the specific stories. Or so I thought. Ancestry uncovered newspaper clippings and audio recordings where my grandparents shared more about their experiences. Ancestry even found the passenger list document from when they came to the U.S. And there was a bunch of other information from my dad's side of the family as well that I didn't know. So see what Ancestry finds about your family. Go to Ancestry.com/newsworthy for 20% off your Ancestry DNA kit. That's Ancestry.com/newsworthy for 20% off your Ancestry DNA kit. Ancestry.com/newsworthy. Now back to the news. The men's college basketball three-point line is being moved farther away from the basket. CBS Sports says the line is moving from 20 feet 9 inches from the basket to 22 feet 1 and 3/4 inches. It'll be the same as the international basketball three-point line. It hasn't moved since 2008, but the NCAA Playing Rules Oversight Panel decided it was time for a change, at least in part to slow the trend of a lot of three-point shots happening during games. They hope to make it a little bit more challenging. The panel also approved a few other changes, and all of the changes will go into effect next season. YouTube is now banning racist and extremist videos. The Hill reports the company updated its hate speech policies, meaning it will likely have to remove thousands of videos. The company will no longer allow any content that alleges one group of people is superior to another group to justify discrimination. For example, videos that promote white supremacy are banned. The same goes for content that glorifies Nazi ideology. The changes come as YouTube and other social sites face criticism for how they handle hate speech and harassment. On top of that, YouTube says it will also remove all videos that deny violent events ever happened, like the Holocaust or the Sandy Hook massacre. YouTube's new policy is in effect now, but Reuters says the site is already facing some backlash. There's been complaints over its refusal to remove videos from conservative commentator Steven Crowder and comments he's made about a gay journalist. YouTube has made a few statements about it at this point, saying he didn't technically violate the policies, but later YouTube said it'll stop him from making money on the site for now. Really, neither side is happy. Amazon says drones will be making deliveries soon, as in within months. Bloomberg reports Amazon unveiled the latest version of the Prime Air delivery drone at its conference this week. We've heard about these drones before, but Amazon made some upgrades. The latest version is about 6 feet wide and has sensors to detect and avoid airplanes and people on the ground. The Verge says the drone is electric, but for now it can only carry things that are less than 5 pounds. Of course, Amazon still has to get FAA approval for the drone to fly, but says it plans to start testing them out in the coming months. You can now order food and request an Uber, all in one app, depending on where you live. TechCrunch says Uber is rolling out a merged app in some cities where users can place an Uber Eats order inside the main Uber app. Before, users had to download two separate apps, one to order food and one to get a ride. Now The Verge says users can open up the main Uber app and click the Eats logo in the top right corner. A web browser will pop up and you can order from there. The combination will likely bring in more customers and give Uber an upper hand over competition like Lyft and DoorDash, for now. Netflix is testing out a new Instagram-like feature on its mobile app called Extras. Business Insider says it's a vertical feed of trailers, video clips, and pictures from Netflix shows and movies. Mainly, it's meant to help users find something to watch. But the feed also has extra content, which users can then share on other social media. The Extras tab is at the bottom of the page on the Netflix app, but it might not be there for too long. Netflix says it doesn't know yet if this feature will be permanent. It's official, Rihanna is the richest female musician in the world. Forbes says she's worth $600 million. That's more than Madonna, Celine Dion, and Beyonce. While Rihanna is best known for her music, that's not the only reason she's rich. Most of her income comes from her partnership with a French luxury goods giant that owns Louis Vuitton and Dior. Rihanna also launched her own fashion label, which makes her the first black woman to run a major luxury fashion line. She also has her own lingerie line and cosmetic brand. Rihanna recently told the New York Times Style magazine she never thought she'd make this much money. All right, that's it for the main news today, but it's now time for Thing to Know Thursday, where a different expert explains a different thing to know only on Thursdays after the news. This week, we're talking about child internet stars. You may not realize that child stars in traditional TV and movies are protected by certain rules and laws about how much they can work and what can happen to their money, that sort of thing. But it's not the same for kids who are celebrities online. So my guest today is Crystal Erbeden. She's a digital anthropologist, and she researches young people's relationships with internet celebrity. She's also an author on the topic and was listed on Forbes 30 Under 30 Asia and Pacific Standard 30 Top Thinkers Under 30. She's a senior research fellow in internet studies at Curtin University in Australia. So here's my conversation about child internet stars with Crystal Erbeden. Hi, Crystal. Thanks so much for coming on The Newsworthy.
Hi, Erica. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to chat.
I want to talk a little bit about the similarities and also the differences between what we typically think of child stars coming from television and movies to today's kind of internet famous kids.
Most of the time when we look at traditional child stars, they have been integrated into a mass media system where they've got, say, PR agents, managers, back-end production staff all at play to assist them with crafting their public persona, but also to be there for them to guide them through welfare child protection services, such as ensuring a minimum amount of education even when they're on set, taking care of their earnings, or maybe down to the actual environment that they are working in, whether it's safety or health hazards. With internet-famous children, though, most of them tend to be filmed or they tend to operate within the confines of the home. And these very private domestic spaces are not equally policed or are not as equally governed. More crucially, though, many of these influencer agencies or media companies who work with internet-famous children go through their parents as conduits because their parents or legal guardians double up as their managers. Now, even the most well-meaning parents or legal guardians who truly love their children may not actually be the best managers to care for the careers or the career welfare for their children because it does require some specialized expertise as well as knowledge. The second aspect would be what we call the social cultural aspect. For the most part now on television, we still see child stars governed under a layer of privacy, or at least a layer of safety away from, say, the paparazzi. But with internet famous children, though, the guidelines are not as clear. For the most part, there is not an industry-wide law, rule, or governance system that allows these social media famous child celebrities to also have the same rights as their counterparts in the legacy entertainment world.
And that has to do with their finances as well, right? I mean, there are laws in California that parents have to put aside some of the money that their kids make as children so that those children can actually benefit from those earnings.
For the most part, the monetary earnings of the children is under the purview of the legal guardian / parent / manager. So on the agency's end, the most that they can do is to ensure that the parents are aware of the guidelines offered to them by the agency. But the actual enactment and the actual carrying out of ensuring that the finances are properly kept, that entirely falls on an assumed responsibility of the parent as manager. And we've seen in the last few years also several cases where parents, some of them, have not been doing a really good job at this, either squandering away these earnings or in some other cases exploiting their children, abusing them in order to maximize their exposure and increase their income.
Yeah, at a certain point, there's a lot of pressure to up the level of your YouTube video or Instagram post. And so how does that pressure impact not just the kids, but the parents to take it to the next level?
Most definitely, this entire industry as a whole, regardless of your age, your life stage, your genre, is really, really competitive and saturated today. Where parents are increasingly feeling the pressure to increase the aesthetic aspect of their content, increase the frequency at which they post, also increasingly divulging different types of details about their children that may or may not relate to the original grassroots ethics of parenting ethos or ensuring the well-being and the healthy growth of your child. We see this with parent influencers, especially on Instagram, who may be trying really hard to fit a product or a service into the template of using their child to sell a thing in order to continue to maintain other people's interest in that account. So this trend definitely is quite worrying.
How much money are we talking about?
So when we talk about child stars, there's truly a very wide variety where very visible and very exposed children are not actually influencers in a monetary sense and do not make any money at all, despite being really prolific. But if we were to focus on the successful end of the spectrum, we're not looking at child stars via their parents, earning anything from the low hundreds if they're starting out, to the millions annually, and that is a lot of money to contend for.
Should this be happening, and if it is going to happen, what's the solution to at least bring some of the traditional laws and guidelines to the internet?
We all know that the reality of it is that this is going to be a behavior that's difficult to stop in the long run. So I feel like a more pragmatic and useful way to look at this is to improve the situation. If you are a social media platform and you clearly have got guidelines that your users have to be a certain age before being allowed to start an account, how is this being screened and how is this being enforced? These social media companies cannot deny that for the most part, they are underage children, basically running really prolific accounts with hundreds of thousands of followers. But it's not all the social media giants that we have to take accountable. We also want to look at the people who are sort of the source of the honeypot, the clients. These are the people who are endorsing and hiring these influencers to produce campaigns. And then, of course, we've got all the intermediaries and the people actually participating in this. The influencer agencies can do so much more in order to keep their parent influencers in check. And parent influencers themselves are a really extremely important tool for peer review and peer support. Last but not least, to hit them where it really hurts, we have to be educating the viewers. Attention is the main currency on social media today, and to withhold that can be the biggest weapon in ensuring that someone in next change. So perhaps spreading awareness on how clicking on a viral video of a child being harmed may be encouraging these exploitative parents by continuing their craft. Because truth be told, these algorithms who register our eyeballs and traffic frankly do not discriminate between someone who is a passerby, a fan, a loyal hater, or a bot. The moment you click on it, the moment you register your interest, that all still counts. So we have to be a lot more savvy about where we turn our eyeballs to these days.
And as always, you can read more about this topic and our guest in today's show notes, along with links to all the stories we talked about in this episode. Just go to thenewsworthy.com, click episodes, and find today's date. Thank you so much for listening today. And as always, The Newsworthy is here for you by 4 in the morning every weekday. We'll chat again tomorrow. Have a great day.